washing. That's the good part. We haven't diverted. next time I pick a book, I have to read further ahead and make sure I know what I'm getting into. I had threatened to be off this week to be ill at the last minute, but I decided that's not going to be the case. We're going right for the controversy. And I realize there's a whole lot of women between me and the back door. That's why I will go out the side door. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. When you get your biblical text, if you would rise. And somebody better be praying for me this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but in sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Father, we come this morning to hear from you. Help us to be open to hear from you, Lord. We may not like it, but you said it. And since you said it, we must consider it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's just get right to it. The opening verse, the controversial verse. I mean, is there anybody here that does not believe that children should listen to their parents? Is there any controversy there? No? Okay. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And even though I made a big deal about it last week and kidding, and Bobby's going to keep it to me, I'm sure, keep me to it this morning. When you first look at this verse as a pastor, you find yourself, you think, in a no-win situation. I mean, I could either just come out and say, women, submit to your husbands, in which case I've lost a lot of women, or I could say that really Paul was talking in the culture of his times. And in the culture of his day, women were treated less than they are today. And so Paul was really just speaking culturally, and we can disregard that. And the problem is that if we write off all of Scripture to be just a cultural reference, then we lose the principles that God was teaching through the cultural reference. I may use things in our culture to describe something scriptural, and through the wonder of Gary's technology back there, it could be heard by somebody 200 years from now in a different culture, and they could write off what I said because it doesn't apply in their culture and how antiquated we were today, and miss the point of the teaching. And so quite honestly, I'd rather run the risk of running the gauntlet of women to the back than I would to disregard the principles of God because they're housed in the context of a culture we don't understand. Paul clearly was living in a culture where women were treated differently. And the fact of the matter is that when Paul wrote this verse, women hearing it would not have made the same disruption about it as you would today. Paul also said elsewhere in Corinthians that women should worship with their heads covered. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, my mother would not pull into the church parking lot without her head covered. You women remember that. And we decided somewhere along the line, particularly the Catholic Church and their Vatican II, that that was a cultural thing. Well, this was even part of our culture to the place where I remember distinctly as a child, one time my mother had forgotten her covering and she grabbed a tissue and a bobby pin. So she walked in the church with a tissue on her head to make sure that her head was not covered. And the question is, with that kind of, let's call it, reverence yesterday, what happened to today? And I'm not saying that women should be here with their heads covered. I'm looking at that covering represented something. And when we took the covering off, did we also discard what it represented? You see, the cultural statement was trying to teach us about a biblical principle. Now, since Paul is not a culture warrior, Paul is the founder of churches. He's the leader of churches. He's the writer of most of the scriptures in the New Testament. He was God's missionary to the Gentiles. And since he was not a cultural warrior, but a religious warrior, then Paul's intent was religious, not cultural. And if I throw away the culture, I might throw away the point. Colossians 3:1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The earthly thing is the covering of the head. The earthly thing is the cultural thing. The heavenly thing, where we set our hearts in Christ, the things above, are the idea that we have that Christ is our covering. That's what women were doing, whether they knew it or not. It was a representation of that. And none of us should be outside of the covering of the blood of Christ. Whether we have a hat, a scarf, or a tissue on, we don't want to be outside of the covering of Christ, and that's the principle. My Bible has little headings on it, and when you go to chapter 3, it says rules for holy living. Now, this is another problem we have, is that we will go to Colossians 3:18, and we will pick out that one sentence, and we will forget everything else that was said before it. Paul, in this portion of the scripture, is trying to tell us what holy living looks like. And in that, he then goes into what a Christian household should look like in that same chapter, and he comes out with this statement that wives should be submitted to their husbands. But what that is really is an extension of the thought of submission for us all. Submission is the principle that governs a holy house. It's not a put down, it's not a dictation, and it's not a declaration of what your role must be. It is a teaching that each and every one of us, man, woman, and child, is submitted to something or someone. You see, the biblical use of submit communicates a sense of hierarchy. And the word is used word for both voluntary and non-voluntary submission. So a slave, as Paul says a little bit later on, a slave is obligated to obey, to submit to its master. The sense of a woman submitting into her husband seems to be voluntary. However, it is part of the order that is laid down. Everyone is called to submit somewhere. Everyone is called to submit somewhere. And if we don't get used to the idea that we, even us, are called to submit, then we're going to reject and have a problem when it's being submitted to someone maybe we don't care to be submitted to. Now think about this. Jesus in Luke 2:51, it says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them," them being his parents, "and was obedient to them." This is Jesus going back to Nazareth after he had spent time in the temple, and his parents came back looking for him, and there was that big fuss that went on because he was there and didn't tell them. This word, that obedient to them, is the same Greek word for submit. Now think about this. Jesus, the Word of God, the creator of the world, creator of you and I, submitted himself to the parents he had created. And he did it willingly. Was Jesus less than his creation? Was Jesus somehow inferior to Joseph and Mary? I think not. But submission is so important to holy living that Jesus taught it by doing it. Now, let's be honest. Jesus could have, Joseph and Mary are gone, and yet he, according to Scripture, submitted to them. 1 Peter 5:5 tells us in the same way, "You who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders." Yes, I said it. "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." Listen, we're going to find out in a little bit that this submission of the young to the elders is not intended to beat down the youngers, but it's intended for protection. So it's not just for Jesus, it's for the young. And of course, Ephesians 5:22 repeats what Paul had said, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Now there's a part of that phrase, "as you do to the Lord," that I don't really hear in the teachings of submission. The implication is that we're already submitted to someone, and that's to the Lord. And I can tell you, if we're not submitted to the Lord, we are not going to submit to anyone else, whether it be our master, if we're a slave, our husbands, if we're wives, our parents, if we're children, or men submitting to Christ, which Scripture tells us. We all need to submit somewhere, and we need to do it wherever that is, as if we're doing it to the Lord. So I'm going to guess that much of the problem with submission verses comes from the idea that we in America have the idea that we submit to no one. In fact, MMA, the idea of tapping out, quitting, I submit is the term, and submitting in that culture is repulsive. I heard a man describe how his arm was put in a hold in such a way intended to submit him. And the proudest moment of his life was not submitting and hearing his tendons and ligaments snap in his arm. And during the interview, he said, "It was the proudest moment of my life that he would not submit." We have that mindset. We don't submit to anyone. And yet, the church submits, Ephesians 5:24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. If the church is not submitting to Christ, women don't need to submit to anyone either, nor children, nor men. The idea is that we individuals gathered together as a church submit to what Christ wants, regardless of what we want. And we know, of course, that slaves submit. 1 Peter 2:18, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And the idea here, I think, can be extended well beyond slaves and go to us individually as employees. Right? As employees, we need to submit to our employer, whether we have more experience, more knowledge, more understanding, more skill, more ability, whatever, we submit to their authority because we're under that hierarchy. I got to tell you, being a business owner myself, I would suspect that most business owners are business owners because they don't want to submit. I don't want the boss telling me what to do. My corporate life tells me I understand what it is to submit. The boss is in charge, the owner's in charge, and he may have the wrong decisions. But we are under their authority. And you don't get to be lax because you have a believing boss. You don't get to take advantage of your believing boss, Scripture says, just because he's a believer. In fact, the opposite. Men submit, 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. Somewhere, somehow, some way, each and every one of us needs to learn submission. And you know how a business owner learns submission? He goes out and gets a customer. They'll make you submit. You want to get paid? You do what we tell you, the way we tell you. I've got a customer right now. I've gotten more calls for a nothing job than I have for the last 10 jobs put together. If I want to get paid and do this job, I'll take his call one more time. One more time. No one gets away without submitting. And there are ramifications, complications with those who don't want to submit. Romans 13:5 says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Some of us may submit simply because we could get in trouble. Paul in Romans says, no, you do it for good conscience too, because it's the order of things. And if you've ever been under a boss that knew less than you, you understand how difficult it is to follow the order of things. But it is the order of things. And some will not submit, Romans 10:3. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, in the order of the context of submitting, listen, if the church submits to Christ and men submit to Christ and women submit to Christ and they submit to their husbands and children to their parents and everybody's submitting to somebody, when that's done, it's a declaration of God's righteous ways. what it is. If I refuse to submit to the hierarchy above me, then I'm breaking the order, and the church is to be in order. And I want to be in the place of righteousness for his sake. And it's funny how in the corporate life we can all submit to somebody as long as we collect our paycheck at the end of the week. It's funny how we can do it then, but maybe not in other circumstances and situations. Ultimately, every submission we make is to God and his righteousness. Every time we submit somewhere in its proper order. Now, some may ask about abuse, and some may ask about some of the distortions that happen in life, and they do. We're not talking about that. Those who are being abused do not need to stay in that situation. But we always talk about the exception to the rule without understanding the rule. Why should we submit? Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow. You mean, how about if I just fast? No, I have to submit. That's a form of reverence. How about if I just put on a cap? No, that's a sign of submitting and reverence, but we need to do the submitting and reverent part. And this one is crazy. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won without words by the behavior of their wives. And again, all things within context, I'm not talking about abusive situations, but I wonder in the simple day-to-day living situations, if there was that submission going on, how many marriages might be better or saved or whatever. And if that seems to be a put-down, it's not. Because then you have to ask yourself, if one person submitting to another can change the heart of the one submitted to, my question is, how much power is found in submitting? You mean to tell me that I can't argue someone into salvation, I can't belittle them into salvation, I can't nag them into salvation, I can't force them into salvation, but if I just was in the proper order of things as declared by God, not me, there would be power revealed? The power to bring salvation? Hello? You see, when we reject the cultural argument and get rid of the principle of all of us submitting in the proper order before God, we throw away the potential power to change lives as well. Maybe even our own. So holy living is the principle that's being taught. And it requires orderly living, which requires proper submission. Submission is to be a part of each and every one of our lives. There are things we don't submit to under any circumstance, Colossians 2:20. Since you died with Christ to the elemental forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules. The rules in this case are not paying taxes and they're not speeding laws. They're the spiritual forces. The spiritual forces. We do not submit to any spirit but the Holy Spirit. We do not submit to any force but the Holy Spirit. The force be with you is funny on TV or the movies, and that's where it ends. We do not obey forces against the Word of God. Hebrews 13:7. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. The whole thing about submitting is to be a benefit to you. Men, women, and children, all of us, the church, all of us submitting is to be a benefit. And so, the Assemblies has very tight guidelines when you travel on a missions trip. And the guidelines that you have to sign and agree to, they tend to be reflect both our values and the values of the country that you're visiting. And they keep telling us that we don't want to offend the other culture. And in our American mindset, we say, they better not offend me. Who do they think they be? After all, we're Americans. Suck it up. You be offended by us. Why do we always have to bend? Well, there's something more than offending. Each and every leader that goes on a trip, that takes people on a trip, is responsible for the safety of those people, their safe return, and giving them a meaningful experience. That's their responsibility. And some of the rules are for the protection of the individuals more than they are for the protection of the norms of the culture, even though they don't express it that way. I read this morning about a pastor who took his wife to Turkey. And they went into the marketplace in Turkey, which was like some 20 acres of endless booths and streets and traffic and people. And his pastor said that they got to a certain place where the men were lined up in the alleyway, and they were abusing his wife. Not touching, but abusing her in every way that you can abuse somebody without touching them. And it came to a realization on their part what was happening. And these men, they were gathered together. They're from in their country, they're in their place, this is their street, and they're together, and they could care less that he was there. But once they realized what was happening, they went to a booth and they bought her a head covering, and she was now covered in such a way that said to these men, I'm not for sale. You see, in their culture, a woman without a covering on her head meant that she was for sale. You get that? Okay? And he said the abuse stopped. The woman was making an advertisement, even though she knew nothing about it, and the advertisement said, I'm an American woman, and I'll do what I want, and they were reading it a totally different way. And so if the leaders of the trip say, well, we can't wear this kind of clothes and that kind of clothes and that kind of thing, it may well be simply for our protection that we don't get into a situation like that. You know, they tell us not to wear jewelry. And we all go, oh yeah, we're not going to wear our jewelry. We'll become a target. And if they tell you dress modestly, I'm an American. I'll dress as I choose. There's not a lot of wisdom in that. Sometimes submitting puts us under, is a benefit to us. I can think of many times in my corporate life where the guy who had the office next to mine, he didn't have one bank of windows. He was in the corner, and he had two sets of windows. And that guy, he didn't park down the row. He parked at the head of the row. And you better not park in his place. And he didn't have the Ford Explorer. He had the Ford Expedition. And it was always parked in his spot, and you didn't get into his truck or his parking spot. Now, he knew far less about construction than I did. And I had to submit to him. But there were days when the boss was on a tear, and he got to spend them with the boss, and I didn't. And so submission was for my benefit. Submission, as represented by the covering of the head, brought protection. I expect the leader of our trip to give us that kind of insight. We will then be responsible for submitting to it. The biggest problem is that our flesh does not allow us. And we just read that we're to submit. We're worry about heavenly things, not earthly things, not the things of the flesh. And so that means that we have to fight against our own built-in tendency to reject any kind of hierarchy or authority. It matters not who is the creator, though, Jesus taught us. It matters what is righteous before God. And so if our boss is not as smart as we are, submit. And if the police speed more often than we do, submit. And if every time I see a officer driving on Long Beach Island, he's on his cell phone, I can't be. And if your husband keeps messing up your life, submit. It doesn't mean that you're second class. It doesn't mean you have no influence. It doesn't mean that you're stupid any more than my submitting to the authorities above me. And when we don't follow the biblical truths, we don't have the power that comes when we follow them righteously, and that power to change people's hearts and lives. Now, if you want to suggest to me that this kind of submission really wasn't the intent of God when he created man, I would say you're right. But it only took to Genesis 3 for us to mess things up. And it only took to Genesis 3:16 for God to say to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. I would suggest to you that the hierarchy that Paul is telling did not exist in the garden. We don't see anything in the first three chapters of Genesis that says that Eve had to submit or Adam had to submit. There was no children at that time. There was no conversation of submitting, the church submitting. It was just they were in relationship. And I would suggest that they understood who God was and they reverenced him whether they had their head covered or not. But the fall entered in and man messed up. And there were consequences to it. And so now there is an order of things that is in place. And that order of things is in place simply because God said so. Do you ever say to your kids, they're now old enough to be left alone for an hour, and there's a couple of them? Invariably, the older one's going to say, I'm in charge now. I'm in charge. If that older one understands words and meanings, you'll probably scare them off being in charge by saying, no, you're responsible. You're responsible. And I think that's what God was saying to men. You're responsible. If I put somebody under you, if I'm the authority, if I'm the boss, if I'm the guy paying your wages, and I say to you, this person is under you, you're responsible for him. And you better take care of it. Because if I come back and he's messing up, I'm holding you accountable. That's the difference between in charge and responsible. So women, I understand that this may be in the flesh, not a pleasant thing. You may not want to be the guy who has to spend a day with the boss after things go wrong. And men, starting with me, Paul says in 21, he says, fathers, don't embitter your children, because they will become discouraged. Men, our abuse of our wives, if they're submitting to us, may be the reason that our families are out of order. And the way we treat our children may be the reason that they struggle today and have so much issues. I mean, we're responsible. And he says in verse 22, in everything, the slaves obey in everything. He specifically says not just while they're watching. Is your lunch break a half hour when the boss is around, in 45 minutes when he's not? Who are we submitting to? So the point of the story is that I get it. In our flesh, we don't want to submit to anybody. You want to start a fight in your house? Tell your 13-year-old, you're in charge. And the 11-year-old will automatically rebel because you created a hierarchy. And we hate hierarchy. I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I do know what it's like to submit. Is my wife second class? Not in the least. Is she my partner? Every bit of the way. Do I depend on her? I shouldn't depend on her. She's submission. Oh, yeah. I guess what submission means is that if my family goes astray, she's not going to be the one standing before God trying to give an explanation. So, if in fact we read into that scripture the whole idea that it's a cultural thing and we disregard it, then we miss the principle of all of us having to submit somewhere, somehow, some way. And it's not natural, and we got to get over it, because it's going to happen. Okay. And with authority comes, when I say authority, it's not authority. It's a place in the hierarchy comes more responsibility. That's just the way God planned it. Because Jesus submitted to his parents, and he submits to the Father. And that men submit to him, and women to them, and children to them both, and the church to him. And everything is upwards. I think I went through all of that because on Wednesday night, we had talked a little bit about cultural issues, okay? And I think maturity in the church requires us to go through that, to understand the principle, and stop fighting over the position. And the principle starts with, you cannot disregard the cultural aspects without considering the principle. Right? Is it important for a man to have short hair and women to have long hair? In that culture, it absolutely must have been, because that's what Paul said, but what's he trying to teach? And I'm not going into that. What was he trying to teach? Well, I know one thing. In my youth, before Vicky, my long hair was, in fact, rebellion. Against what? I don't know, but rebellion was cool. And that's where I wanted to be. You're not allowed to have long hair, Christopher. That's the surest way of having him wanting it. In order to walk the Christian walk, we have to do things that in our flesh are not natural. We have to kill it. All of us. Men, if our relationships are such that our wives cannot submit to us, we cannot turn back and look at our wives. We need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we submitted to Christ? Because after all, that is the way we are supposed to be focused. And if we are not submitted to Christ, then our wives don't have the example of submitting as we submit, right? So if we're messed up, they're messed up. And so we don't even have the privilege of turning around saying, this is your fault, because it's my fault. That's what scares me, is knowing that to be true. How much have I embittered my children? How much have I caused my wife not to be able to submit? And it's not submitting to me. That's the biggest issue. She's not learning to submit to the Lord. The best way, men, for us to fix our lives is to fix ourselves. Why, if you've got a husband that you can't submit to, he's unsaved, there's hope. It's written in the scripture. You have access to power that I don't have. Truth, when we get beyond the culture, we see how serious we meant this. Disorder